not too long ago, I sent an email out to everybody talking about another member named Daniel who had gone from zero to six figures in like a little bit under 6 months. And I immediately received an email back from Daniel. And Daniel and I have spoken before, but basically Daniel had a very similar story. I think it was within 12 months you're now kind of billing in the six-figure range. Is that right, Daniel?
Yeah, just about right there.
Just about right there. So basically he emailed me, said, you know, hey, you know, I thank you for some of the materials that you and Ed have put out. I was able to achieve this. And of course it wasn't just Ed and I's stuff. You know, there's tons of other things that go into this. But I wanted to reach out to Daniel and kind of maybe hear his story a little bit. So Daniel, if you wouldn't mind sharing with everybody else, you know, your basic story, and I'll kind of guide you along with some questions, but I hope that's cool that we can kind of talk a little bit about some numbers and some lessons learned and everything.
Yeah, that's completely fine. And I guess the long story is I'm just finishing up about 2 years into being full-time freelance copywriting. And I had never done it before, you know, so no experience freelancing, no experience copywriting when that started. And I mentioned this to you, but in this month, July, I've made more money than I did in the entire first year that I was in business. And
so $15 total, right?
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, well, let's do this. Let's start with the fun stuff. So where are you now? What are you working on? You don't necessarily have to name specific number figures, but, you know, obviously it's in that six-figure range, you know, at least this month. So so where are you now? What are you working on now? Kind of tell us, you know, what's going on.
Okay, so, I mean, the most exciting thing that's happened to me within the last just month that this has all occurred is that about 6 months ago, I started doing some work for The Motley Fool. And the first promotion that I wrote for them, I started it back in January, and I think it went live somewhere in March and just didn't do very well. You know, they tested it a scientific type, A-B type test.
What was that? If you could step back, what is Motley Fool? Just for the
people. Oh, I'm sorry.
Know. No worries.
Mm-hmm. The Motley Fool is a financial publishing company that's located in Alexandria, Virginia. So, you know, very similar to a lot of the stuff that we've seen in Copy Hour with Agora.
So 2 years ago, you weren't freelance copywriting at all. Now you're working with a pretty big company in Motley Fool, able to at least have them A-B split test something that you've written. How did that job come about?
You know, I stumbled into that almost on accident. I was in Hawaii at the time, and I knew I was coming back to Virginia for at least several months. So my dad sent me something, said, like, look on LinkedIn. They have a job opening on The Motley Fool, and they're located here in Virginia. So I was like, all right, I mean, I'll see what I can, you know, at least make contact with some of these people. At the very least, it's an interesting experience to kind of get a little, you know, insider view on what's going on. But since I emailed them and they came back and they were like, yeah, we pretty much want you to do a test for us. We'll pay you for it, you know, but we're just trying to find the best people we can. And finding copywriters is very hard. So we know that if we find someone, we're going to stay with them for a while. So that led me into that first test. And like I said, it didn't go very well. Mm-hmm. But I guess they saw enough of it, or saw that it had enough promise, that they put me on another one, same deal. And at this point, I had learned, you know, all that stuff that I was talking about that their guys do nonstop. I had been in the business for 2-3 months, and so I started to see some of the nuances of the way they marketed and the things that their consumers were responding to. I went through all of their controls. Like, they provided me with everything that was working for them at the moment, and just, you know, almost like I didn't hand copy any of them, but just going through them in almost a Copy Hour type style and saying, like, okay, what's happening with this sentence? Why is the writer choosing to present this in this way as opposed to what might be the more logical way. And eventually I kind of...
It clicked. You got it.
Yeah, it all kind of made sense to me, whereas the first piece I was writing for them, I think it was more of a shot in the dark. And so everything just kind of started to click. And when I was done, I knew I was so confident that it was going to be good. I felt like it was 10 times better than the one that I had done before. And so I kind of sat on pins and needles for about 3 days while they tested it. And then they came back and they were like, this is good. So now they're rolling it out. We're doing lead gen and display ads on it. So all those display ads will go up on, you know, the major financial sites around the internet, wherever you see kind of these square display ads that say whatever, like Obama's looking for a new bowl or something like that.
What else do you got going on at the moment?
Well, I'm working for another company in that same niche, Street Authority.
So do you feel like you're finding yourself kind of, you're finding your niche at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely have kind of carved out a nice little place for myself in this market, and obviously being able to say that I have a control running at the Motley Fool right now makes it a lot easier. But I do know investing probably better than most people at my age bracket who I might be competing against right now. I have a finance degree, so that certainly helped kind of get up to speed on some of this stuff, although I'll admit it's just a ton of research. That's the biggest thing that I've noticed about this market, is that you could spend just weeks researching because you're just looking for a unique angle, something that, you know, some little fact or little known development that nobody knows about that's going to make a compelling sales pitch.
That's awesome. Right in the very beginning, were you looking to work with companies more like Motley Fool, and were you looking to niche, or were you just like kind of throwing everything out there and seeing what stuck, and you just kind of found yourself in this?
Yeah, I mean, in the first year that I was doing this, I didn't really have any plan. You know, I was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants trying to find what worked, what did. So falling into the investment stuff, it did happen a little bit by chance. And like I said, my dad just kind of randomly sent me that thing that one day. And that was really the first time that I had really considered that maybe I should heavily niche myself down, at least for the time being. But I am, you know, I have done stuff recently with companies that have nothing to do with that. So I think it's good to have one strong focus and then keep your chops sharp by kind of working on some other stuff, because it does help, I think, kind of cross-pollinate some ideas from one field into the next.
Got it. So before we keep going back and talking about the very beginning aspect, what's your lifestyle now, as far as what's a typical day kind of look like? Are you like calling yourself Daniel the freelance copywriter? Or are you still in that process of kind of figuring out your next move, if you know what I mean?
No, I mean, I'm pretty much settled on this, and I think it kind of took me a little while to get there, but where I am now, I'm seeing that it might not even be worth my time to go into other things. You know, I had kind of thought about trying to maybe consult on some other type stuff. But when I see the guys who are just one level above me, say, and the money that they're making, because you can get very lucrative royalty deals on all of these promotions. You know, they might say, we'll give you a percentage of this copy for as long as it works. And, you know, you have free rein on keeping it updated. You can work to keep it converting as much as you want. And so realistically, you could write one piece of copy and have it pulling in money for you for a year or 2 years if it's really good. So kind of to answer your question, I don't think I'll be doing anything other than copywriting for the rest of my life.
So I know you're still kind of in the, you know, the beginning stages, obviously. So what's a typical day like for you then at this point?
Well, you know, my life has changed, or my daily routine has changed a lot since I left Hawaii, but usually kind of the structure is the same, and so I'll give you that. I wake up generally, I don't know, 7 or 8 in the morning, kind of somewhere in that range, depending on how rested I'm feeling, and I pretty much get straight to work. One thing I found is that you kind of have to learn how to manage your own productivity, especially if you're in the process of writing something in one of these long form letters. I've found that in the morning I can get 3 times as much done if I just sit down for a 3 hour period in the morning than I could if I waited till, say, after lunch and then worked the whole rest of the evening. So I always pretty much work from whenever I can sit down soonest for about 3-4 hours. Then I'll eat lunch, and when I was in Hawaii, I'd go surfing. Now I'll just go get some exercise or something like that.
Yeah.
And I come back, and that's when I try and kind of handle some of the non-writing things, you know, dealing with clients or trying to educate myself. That's when I would do copy hour. That's when I'll read some of my copywriting books, whatever it is, to just kind of get me back into the swing of working. Then I'll just spend a couple more hours once I'm rejuvenated, finishing up whatever client work I'm doing. And that's usually it. Usually done by, I don't know, 5-6 at night, unless I have a deadline coming up. And then, you know, all bets are off. I'm just trying to get everything done before they need it.
Yeah. I think that what you just described, that process and that daily schedule, is very similar to most of the people that I know that are successful. You find those few hours of the day that are where you know you're going to be at your best, and you just hit it hard. So the same thing for me, the first 3 to 4 hours after I wake up, that's my most productive time of day. And I can get more done in those 3 to 4 hours than I could get done in 12 hours any other time of day. I don't know, Ed, if you have something similar to that.
Same thing for you. I wake up, eat, and then I work in the early afternoon, and then take a long break, and then work in the night. I'm a night owl.
Yeah, and it's kind of reverse, but you probably get more done in the night than you would if you were trying to work all day, you know?
Yeah, if I don't do night work at night, my mind just starts racing, and I can't sleep, so I'd prefer to use that that mental energy for work. So I kind of flop things around and kind of just relax during, you know, the early part of the day, and then crank away at night.
Got it. So Ed, if you have any other questions while we're going through, you know, just cut me off and jump in.
Yep.
But I just wanted to see, you know, can we talk about the first few jobs? Did you have anything before Motley Fool, and maybe if there was kind of a turning point, like things just kind of clicked?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the first bit I was at it, I was just kind of taking anything I could. I had no real focus.
Could we actually go back a little bit? What did you do for? You said you were working at a corporate. What were you doing prior? And then tell us about the feeling of what it felt like to put yourself out into the world as a freelance copywriter. Were you scared? Were you fearful going into these meetings? How were you getting these meetings?
Sure, I'll go through that. Well, I was working for a like a technology consulting firm. I have no tech background, but I was just a financial analyst helping them run numbers. And eventually, towards the end of my time there, I started getting into actually helping them do some of the marketing stuff, which was probably a little bit of a catalyst for me wanting to get into copywriting itself. But to be honest with you, and I realize that it's almost stupid now, when I left, I mean, I had rose-colored glasses on for sure. I had no fear about making copywriting work, making freelancing work. And, you know, I was being naive because I had never kind of really run the numbers in my head to figure out how much you should be billing and what volume of work you need in order to actually generate an income. So the first 6 months that I was at it was just bliss. I mean, I was working probably 2 or 3 hours a day and then just surfing all day the rest of the day. But then, you know, after probably about 6 to 8 months, I think I kind of started to sit back and look at my income, or my lack of income, my savings just dwindling. And that's when I started to get a little more serious about it. And that's when I signed up for Copy Hour, because I knew I needed to be able to start raising my rates. And in my mind, and still in my mind, the best way to raise my rates was always just to get better at copywriting. So getting better at copywriting and doing Copy Hour just kind of seemed to make sense to me. You know, it just seemed to eliminate having to learn how to negotiate and things like that, if I could just say, well, I'm really good at this.
Yeah. And now you've got that, the leverage point, like you were talking about with the Motley Fool ad, the control, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's when you have something like that to be able to market yourself, it helps 100%. But at the same time, when I got this work for Street Authority, for example, that was before this Motley Fool ad was completed. And I'm convinced that it was just the quality of the letter that I sent to the VP who was hiring for the contract at the time. You know, it was, I didn't write the standard professional, hey, how you doing? My name's Dan. Nice to meet you. I'm a copywriter. I'm really interested in working for you. I wrote something that was like, I basically turned marketing into a war analogy and painted this vivid picture of us. I think I said something like dodging complaints from subscribers will never happen, and we'll never be left in a rice paddy while the rest of our competition charges forward. It was just a ridiculous letter, but she wrote me back and she was like, this is awesome, we need to talk. She called me like immediately.
Very cool. Awesome. Very cool. So right around that 6 month point when you're like, okay, got to get serious, join Copy Hour. I don't really remember if you joined the cartel around that time or not, but what at that 6 month turning point, what started to happen? What were you doing?
I think just kind of the whole picture started to make sense, not only of what good copy is, but how to manage my own processes, like we've talked about. How to get clients interested in reaching out to me, how to even find the clients in the beginning, which I'm still not the best at. I mean, I'm sure there's people that are way better at it. But, you know, if you think about just the title of like freelance sales and marketing copywriter, there's so many different things in that statement, and each one of them is kind of an individual skill set. And I think maybe just almost on accident, they all kind of started to come together as one, just learning how to sell myself, learning how to write copy, learning how to manage a freelance business and, you know, be proud of my rates and charge what I thought I was worth was probably a huge victory for me. You know, it seems easy to just say, I'm going to walk into a client and say, I'm going to charge this much. But I think there's a lot of mental baggage associated with doing that for a lot of people, myself especially. So that was probably one of the biggest turning points for me was just having the confidence to be able to walk away from a deal that I didn't think was going to work out very well.
That's awesome. And so after 6 months, that's when that mindset shift happened, or just kind of slowly?
I would say that was when the awareness that mindset shift needed to happen.
Got it.
You know, and then kind of a slow process, and then you reach critical mass and you hit that tipping point, and it was like almost overnight I would just start putting my foot down and say, no, I'm not going to do that.
And what was what was your strategy in the beginning for going after clients?
Well, the first client that I ever got, I got paid $15 to write a flyer for someone on Odesk.
There we go.
You know, like I said, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. So Odesk seemed to make the most sense for me. So I wrote an ad on spec for a product that I made up in my imagination. I put that on Odesk, and then I submitted a couple applications for work on Odesk, and the first one that bit was the $15 flyer. And I played in that sandbox probably for that whole first 6 months until I really realized that, you know, that I won't, there are some, I did have some good clients come out of that. But for the most part, the people who were trying to get or hire copywriters on there just didn't have any funding and they were starting something brand new, or they didn't really understand what a copywriter would do for them. So, you know, they had little one-off projects that they wanted to rewrite web landing pages that were getting no traffic at the point, at that point in time. So it was like, you know, they don't have any money. They're not going to be making any money. So there's no room to say, I need more money.
Yeah. And there's no room for your, it's like even to test your stuff out in the world, you know, like you're going to rewrite a landing page that gets 5 visitors a month. Like that doesn't do you any good as the copywriter, you know?
Yeah. So I think once I realized that, I just kind of said, all right, we need to figure out a new strategy here. And in my mind, I'm a copywriter, so I just started writing cold emails to people. You know, I would find email addresses through LinkedIn, or I would opt into people's lists. And then when they sent emails, if they sent something that I had some sort of response to or could contribute a reply that had some sort of insightful thing to add to what they said, I'd throw that in. And, you know, always making sure that I mentioned, well, I'm a copywriter and I do this and that, but never bluntly asking for like, hey, hire me. But just, you know, you get a little bit of a discourse going on and you can eventually say like, let's chat. Or they might even come to you and say, I've got some work for you. I mentioned to you that I was working for Danny Eney, who runs the site Firepole Marketing. And I mean, that's a 7-figure business, and he's grown that very, very quickly. And that's how I landed him as a client, is that I had opted into his email list, and he said, he sent something out that was like, hey, if you have any questions about this, let me know. And I sent him a question that was essentially tagged with the closing statement of like, I'm a copywriter, and I think this is how that would apply to my business. And he emailed me back a couple of response questions, and in my reply to him, it was kind of clear to me that he was looking for something. So in my reply to him, I said, do you have a specific project in mind that you're talking about all this stuff for, or is it more of just a general interest? And he replied and was like, actually, I have something specific in mind. Let's get on the phone. So that was about a year ago, and I just got off the phone with him earlier this week. He's looking for some of my availability to free up here so I can start working for him again. So that was, you know, just a simple 2-sentence email that I sent that has led to thousands and thousands of dollars and a year-long relationship with someone who's brilliant and I think is going to be a brilliant influencer in the online marketing world for years to come. So it was just, you know, almost a chance encounter, but it's paid off huge.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a chance encounter, was it, you know? Because you were proactive and you built the relationships. You know, that's the thing that I've come back to quite a bit with this stuff, is the success really in any career, a lot of times it's going to come down to, A, your skill, like you touched on before, you know, having the confidence and actually getting out there and writing copy and being a copywriter and studying your craft and mastering it, and then also the relationship aspect. So pretty much all the work that I've done as a marketing consultant has come directly through a relationship or because of a relationship. So, yeah, I mean, I think those two things are huge, absolutely huge. And that's what you did with Danny, sounds like to me, at least. You know, you kind of built that relationship first and then went after the work from there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's, when in terms of things like that, I think it's important what you're saying. You know, you build the relationship first before you ever really ask for anything. And with some of the people that I'm working with right now in that regard, you know, I've never specifically asked for work, but I can tell that they're interested in bringing me on. You know, you never go out searching for these things explicitly, but if you're good at what you do, like you said, if you've mastered the craft and then you start building these relationships, the people that you're building the relationships with, they tend to recognize that. you know, and they'll know that you're good at the craft. And then if they have a need for you, they're not going to really hesitate to search to see if you can fill that need.
That's awesome. Ed, do you have any questions?
No, I'm loving to hear, I'm loving the story. I like that, you were working with one financial publication and then reached out to a second. And I liked how you started a niche down. I think it's, I really enjoyed the story. And nice. I enjoy the fact that you put yourself out there first through Elance and then first through cold emailing people on info product lists. And I think that like both of you said and like Derek said, the big thing is really just putting yourself out there and hanging your shingle and letting people know what you do.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because at the end of the day, I could talk about some of the nuances I've noticed about certain industries and how people operate, but you know, I think the biggest thing, it was just putting the foot out and saying, hey, here it is, and kind of being willing for them to say, oh, you don't have enough experience yet, or you don't have the controls that we need. You know, you have to be willing to hear that, I think, because eventually you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear, all right, like, we'd love to have you on. If you're a copywriter, you have a lot of leverage in saying how, under what conditions you want to work, where you want to work, how much money you want to work for. So you kind of have the ability to be the, you know, the one who makes choices as opposed to having the choices thrown upon you. And they're all cool companies. You know, they all have different histories and kind of different heritage. So if someone finds themselves in a situation where they are choosing among several competitors, it's a great position to be in because you can find what works best for you. And that's kind of where I am right now. It's just figuring out which of these companies, if I go forward and say, all right, I want to work for one particular client in this industry and go exclusive, which one is the one that I want to be with for the next, you know, year or two, 3 years even.
That's great. I wish more employees, people that end up being employees, would take that mindset, you know?
Well, I mean, it's hard though. If you're the great thing about being a freelancer is that you're never desperate to take a job. So if you're an employee, you might feel that you have no other options. But if you're a freelancer and, you know, a great in-house position comes along, you have the ability to kind of negotiate what you want out of that position because you still got this great freelance business to fall back on. And so you're never kind of desperate for anything. And I mean, copywriting in particular, I think is just so valuable. And there's so many different ways to do it that even if you kind of fizzle out in one area or get tired of writing one particular topic, you can just easily step right over the boundaries into another field. So there's never any shortage of work, I don't think, for a copywriter. He's good at what he does.
No, and I mean that the natural progression, and this is, I was going to ask you this in a few minutes, but the natural progression is to go out and start actually making your own products and starting your own business as a copywriter, because you can see the systems and the processes and understand the psychology, the buying psychology, and understand your customer deeply. So for you, you know, you said you want to work in copywriting for, you know, for the foreseeable future. What is next for you, do you think?
That's a great question and one I've been thinking about a lot lately. So I think the first thing for me is really to, you know, take a step back to what we were just talking about, is figure out kind of where I want to be, if I want to sign myself into sort of an exclusive financial non-compete agreement, is to do that and then just never have to worry about business development for the foreseeable future. And if that's the case, then, you know, that frees my mind. You know, I kind of have this mental profit margin where I can start thinking about what else I want to do in addition to writing. Because I do think there's only a limited capacity to what you write. You know, I tend to have kind of a quota that once I reach it for the day or the week, it doesn't really matter what I do. There's nothing else that I can really put out that's going to be very good. So then the question is, how am I going to fill that time? And I think there's a huge opportunity, A, to be more kind of a funnel consultant. And I think anybody in the cartel could probably do something like that, where you know, if you've seen multiple businesses that have successful funnels, whether they're all online or they're integrated offline onto online, you can just start. You don't even have to write the copy, you know, and that's kind of where I want to go, is just almost advising on what the funnel structure needs to be and what the copy within the funnel needs to be, but never actually writing it myself. Because like I said, I think I just won't have the capacity to write it. And, you know, you can get, I think, some pretty lucrative consulting deals off that. I've done one with some people back in Hawaii that pretty much I was just advising them on, you know, you're more of a digital marketing consultant at that point. Yeah, so that's exactly one thing. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of playing off that theme would be to coach other copywriters on what I think is an area that I've noticed is that I have not seen a lot in terms of copywriting teaching and education is actually the strategy of winning a split test, which is something that I've obviously learned a lot about over the last 6 months. And I just think there's a wide open market for that because, you know, you can't go in against an existing control and just change everything. You know, the reward is huge, but the risk is also huge. You know, so you have, I think in every situation where you're kind of going up existing copywriters and existing copy that's working, you almost want to go for hitting a single or a double first. You know, you just want to top it before you go into your next promotion or whatever and try and hit a grand slam that just sets the bar at an entirely new level. And that I learned that lesson the hard way, because the first thing I did for the Motley Fool was I tried for the grand slam and it didn't work out. Whereas the second thing I did, I kind of reined in my expectations and reined in my writing too. You know, I didn't go for this whole new style of writing in this new format that was completely different from what they were using. It was more my own spin on what they were doing, and it worked. And so now I kind of have a little more leverage to go for broke, try some new stuff. I've already hit them with a bunch of ideas for kind of new formats, new ways to present ideas. And that's what they love, because they love testing stuff, and they just want to test until they find something that, you know, brings it home day after day after day.
All right, man. Well, I'm excited about what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. God,
I mean, same here. Absolutely.
Yeah. You just, you know, I don't know. There's the way that you speak, I can tell that you're going to be very, very successful in all of this. And you're already starting to see that, you know, the results of that success. So Ed, do you have any other questions before we let Daniel get back to it?
What's your advice to someone just starting out? Someone thinking about becoming a copywriter, and then someone, say a couple months and struggling to land their first client.
Okay. Somebody just starting out, I would actually say, like, don't worry about how good your copy is at first. Just find a client that you can work with on a semi-long-term basis. So that way you can actually see your copy develop over a couple months. And I think that would be the best learning experience for anyone. And, you know, when I think about my own experience and kind of getting good at copywriting, it's almost there's like three different parts to it. I've told Derek this, I think Copy Hour was the catalyst that started all of this, but one part is studying. And so that would be Copy Hour or going through existing ads, you know, just anything that is proven to be working. You know, you want to study good advertising. And then you want to leverage that with good, proven guru-type educational resources, you know, tested advertising methods, breakthrough advertising, whatever you can get your hands on from proven copywriters to kind of fill in the holes that, you know, if you're analyzing an ad or looking through your swipe file and something doesn't make sense, then you go into one of these classic books or something, and the light bulb will just go off. You'd be like, oh my God, I know exactly why that headline worked and that ad I looked at yesterday. And then you take all that and you just get better by doing it. You just get better by actually putting it into practice and getting into copywriting. And so I think if you're brand new, the best thing you can do is just work for the same client for a little while so that you can consistently see how your copy is improving over time.
Nice. Good advice.
Daniel, do you have a website that people can go check out, or do you think, and on the same lines, like, do you think somebody just starting out should have a website?
You know, that's kind of a double-edged sword. I have a landing page that is terrible under the domain ferrarimedia.com.
This is a good lesson for everybody, though. It's like you don't necessarily need a website. That's the thing that a lot of people in the beginning are like, well, if I don't have a website, there's no way that I can get started with getting a client, you know?
Yeah, so I have not had any real functioning, valuable website the entire time I've been doing this. I own a domain name, and I use that to email off of. And if you go to Ferrari Media, you'll see there's like three lines of copy and an opt-in box. But I probably have 10 people who have opted into that box. And it's just – it's in terms of getting business, it's never been an asset to me at all. You know, the cold emailing and getting on the phone with people and just telling them about what I'm doing has proven to be – a much, much better use of my time. And I have no technical savvy, so in order for me to ever do a website, the time it takes would just never be worth it. But going forward, I think once you have cash flow taken care of and once you have kind of your stable bit of clients, it does help to have something that people can go to contact you, to find you, to even just, you know, see what you're capable of in terms of writing, you know, an about me page. So I think, you know, once you have the basics taken care of, it doesn't hurt, but I wouldn't focus on it if you don't have any clients or you're just getting started.
Awesome. I couldn't have said it better myself. I don't think Ed could have said it nearly that well either. just giving you a hard time, Ed. So I think that's it, man. I'm really, you know, I don't know. I'm really inspired by this, by you. And
I'm excited. Yeah, excited for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to see what happens over the next year. You know, I think you could hit on some really big things. And just a side note, anybody that ends up making over six figures, you have to split half of that with Ed and I. It's in the terms and disclaimers on Copy Hour. So
the fine print.
All right, Daniel. Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Have a great day.